He is risen. Amen. Amen. You know, when you walk into a service, a church, and you see a casket on one side of the stage, you think, what kind of place am I in? You know, caskets kind of give us the creeps, right? They give us the creeps. They make us wonder, you know, what in the world is going on? Why do you have a casket in a church? And you have a casket in a church because we couldn't put a tomb in here. You know, every culture has their symbol of death, that symbol which kind of marks the end of life here on earth. For Jesus, it was a tomb. For us, it is a casket. But you'll notice no one is in there. No one is in there. But yet on the other side of the stage, we have a symbol of death coming to life. Amen? Death is terrifying. But Jesus Christ is risen, and that's our hope. And I love what I read in Isaiah 25. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, for the Lord has spoken. The Lord has spoken. This is our anchor of every disciple's life, and it's the light of our hope, and that's what we're here to celebrate this morning. So let's go on ahead and stand, and I'm going to open us in prayer, all right? Father, we thank you that we get to speak to and talk with our risen Lord. And this morning, Father, as we come before you, I pray that you would meet us in a dramatic way, in whatever way you choose, Lord, for we know that you are risen and that you are present. Father, your mercies are new every morning, especially this morning. So, Father, we celebrate this morning what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. And all God's people said, amen.
God, we are so thankful that you live and that we get to celebrate your resurrection, that we get to talk about your resurrection, because this life is not worth living without you. In your name I pray, amen. A lot of families have just different traditions on Good Friday. And one common tradition, at least a recent common tradition, is to watch The Passion of the Christ. And The Passion of the Christ is one of these movies where, for some, it's really, really hard to watch because it's a gruesome movie. The producer wanted people just to understand how painful that time was for Christ, how gruesome it was for Christ. And so there's Christians that won't even watch it because of how gruesome it is. And I remember when it first came out, I took a bunch of students and we got to the movie theater and we're sitting, we're watching. And at the part where Jesus is getting his scourging, where he's getting his beating, I remember thinking, I've seen this before. And that's because I had a tradition when I was in high school and college that whenever communion would start, and I went to a larger church when I was in high school, and so it would take a while to get the elements. And so I would sit there in my seat, and I would think through what Jesus went through. What it was like for him to get beat, for him to carry his cross, for him to be nailed to the cross. And I would think through the pain and the suffering, because I wanted to remember what he had gone through for me. And so when I was watching this on the big screen, it wasn't hard. It was like I had already watched the movie. See, the part of the passion that meant the most to me was shortly after that. You know, Jesus gets taken off the cross and he gets put into a tomb. And the last scene of the movie is where all of a sudden you start to hear the stone get rolled away and this once dark screen starts to come to life with light and it starts getting brighter and brighter and brighter, and the rocks start to get brighter. And then you see the linen that was around Jesus sink and lose form. And then it pans to Jesus standing up and walking out, and the camera shows the nail hole through Jesus' hand. And it was at that moment I was moved almost to tears. Some people probably, Nate would have been moved to tears. I was almost moved to tears. but I just remember getting goosebumps, and I just thought, yeah, because what I know to be true is without the resurrection, without Jesus rising from the dead, we as Christians have nothing. We need the cross. Jesus needed to die, but if he stayed dead, it meant nothing. We needed the cross and the resurrection. And when I think about this story, this historic story, something that always strikes me as odd is the disciples. The fact that they were surprised and didn't know what was going on. Like when you read how often Jesus talked about it, you're like, wait a minute, how did they not see this? So I want to talk this morning a little bit about the disciples. How many of you guys have ever had a time in your life where you had done something and you watched something and it was like, oh my goodness, did that really just happen? What? No way. I remember when Tamina and I were newly married, we were watching a VHS cassette. We didn't have a DVD player yet. We had discussed that. And it was a movie that had come out in 99, and it was called The Sixth Sense. And I don't remember much about the movie, but I remember it was about a psychiatrist that in the beginning of the movie, he gets shot, and then all of a sudden it picks up where he's just trying to help out this little boy. It's the movie where I See Dead People comes from. So this psychiatrist is trying to help this little boy. And you see the psychiatrist hanging out with the boy, interacting with other people. You see the psychiatrist with his wife in the car, like at his house. You see the psychiatrist all around. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the movie, it turns out that the psychiatrist was in fact dead. And you're like, no, how did... What? And so we watched all the extras, and like you had to wait till all the credits, fast forward, and then get to the extras because you couldn't just skip. I watched all the extras, and then it was like I needed to watch the movie again because, like, how did they do this? It was like, oh, wait a minute, what? And I think that that's a little bit of what was going on with the disciples after Jesus came back. It's like, wait, oh yeah. But up until that point, they were surprised. They didn't know what was going on. Let's pick up this story in Matthew 16. Because Jesus was very clear to his disciples of what was coming. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. This is pretty clear. So this is obviously before Jesus died, and he's telling them, hey, this is what's going to happen. Like, it's not in a parable. He's just being very clear. Hey, this is what's going to happen. Matthew 20, verse 17. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will be condemned. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. So, again, he's telling the disciples exactly what's going to happen. Like, sequentially, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. And so what happens? Everything happens the way Jesus said it was. You know, Jesus talked about how Judas was going to betray him. What happens? Judas betrays him. The disciples didn't see that one coming, even though he told them it was going to happen. We see him being taken by the religious leaders, just as he said he would. We see Peter deny Christ three times before the rooster crowed, just like Jesus said that was going to happen. Jesus is handed over to the Gentiles just as he said it was going to happen. He is beaten and put on the cross as he told them this was going to happen. Jesus dies on the cross. A professional executioner made sure he was dead, right? So he took the spear and put it in through his side, and it most likely pierced his heart. That's why blood and water were flowing out of it. So this professional executioner makes sure he's dead. Then he's taken off the cross, and two prominent men of that day, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, prominent men in that community, took his body, put 75 pounds of spices on his body and wrapped him in the ritual way that they did that back then. Let me ask you this. If Jesus wasn't dead, would a professional executioner proclaim him as dead? And would prominent people in that community spend the money, the 75 pounds, and wrap him in linens, put him in a tomb if he wasn't dead? See, there's a lot of times where people say, oh, Jesus, he just kind of faked it. He was beaten, yeah, but then he didn't really die. And how you live through a piercing of the heart, I'm not sure. How you live through the wrapping of the linens, like his body's all bloodied, all beaten. He's wrapped with linens, stuck in a tomb for 3 days. So if he didn't suffocate from the linens, he probably had hypothermia because he was in a cave, essentially, for 3 days with a bloody, beaten body. And if that didn't kill him, being without food and water for those 3 days in the condition he was in would have killed him. Jesus, let's just agree, Jesus was absolutely dead. Absolutely dead. So everything is happening just as Jesus said it was happening. You would think that the disciples would be like, oh, we knew this. You watch, he's coming back. Like, you would think they would react that way. What do they do? Let's pick up in John 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still day, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb and saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They didn't understand still what was going on. There was still some confusion of, did they take his body? Like, where did he get, like, what's going on? I don't know. So what do? They go back to where they were. They weren't sure what to do at this point. Like, they did not remember all that Jesus had said yet. Think of the confusion. They had followed this man for 3 years. They thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was going to come and he was going to set up his kingdom. But he's dead. They don't know where his body is. And they're not sure what to do. And I sit there and I think about those disciples and I say, what's wrong with them? Like, why didn't they remember? Why didn't they? They were clouded by what they thought was supposed to happen. And how often is that you and I? Like, Jesus has told us what's going to happen in this world. And yet, a lot of times we live as if we don't know the end. When the world that we live in becomes more and more against God, we get surprised by that. When the things of God aren't valued by our culture, we're like, huh, I didn't see that coming. Yet, we are told throughout Scripture that it's going to get worse before it gets better. The problem is even though it's going to get worse, we don't have to lose hope. Christians, people who put their faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, who have said, I'm going to surrender my life to Christ, should never lose hope. And when I talk about hope, I'm talking about the assurance of what's to come. It's not a, maybe this will happen. That's not what hope is. Biblical hope is, I can bank on this. I'm going to put everything I have in this basket, and that's what I'm going for, because that's what's going to happen. I hope this happens. It's a, it will happen. I have hope it will happen, because it's true. See, and as believers, we should never lose our hope, because we know what is to come. We know what is to come. And today on Easter Sunday, we get to celebrate the resurrection. We get to celebrate the fact that the tomb is empty. The casket is empty. Jesus walked out of the tomb. And we can celebrate because we have hope, because our Savior has risen from the dead. And we have hope because of that. We also have hope of a future, of His kingdom that will come. Even though the disciples didn't totally understand what was going on, soon they would, and what they understood would change history forever. We know the rest of the story, that Jesus shows up to Mary and talks to Mary near the tomb. He meets with His disciples, and there's this great summary of what happened after Jesus rose from the dead in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, verse 1, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I've received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, as He said He would, that He was buried, He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And He appeared to Cephas, to Peter, and then to the 12, and that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and at last, all He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. So you have Paul here who's saying, He appeared to all these people, to over 500 at one time, and He appeared to me. There's this first person, hey, I experienced this. This is a part of my life. I experienced the fact that I saw this dead person come to life. Jesus died and rose again to proclaim victory over sin and death. See, Genesis 3 introduces sin and how all of us have sin. Doesn't matter who you are. We all have sin that needs forgiveness. And we have a Savior that died in our place, that took our sin on, but He rose from the dead and He proclaimed victory over sin and death. And He did that so that we could have an ongoing relationship with Him. In this experience, changed history for the last 2,000 years. Because His disciples, after He appeared to them, they were like, wait, oh my God, what just happened? Wait, oh, you told us this was going to happen. You said you were going to die and you were going to rise. I get it now. You're going to set up your kingdom, and we're going to share that with everyone that we can. So for the last 2,000 years, they have gone out and they have shared the gospel. His disciples have shared the gospel, and we're here because of that. And the thing is in our culture, what is being normalized is that the church is dying. That's what we hear about all the time. Oh, the church is dying, the church is dying, the church is dying. That's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. It may be happening a little bit in the U.S., but it's not happening all over the world. There is hope, and we need to see that what culture wants to do is to normalize the idea that there is no hope. That, oh, God's dead, God's not active, God's not alive, oh, that's just yesterday's stuff. We need to be more progressive and forget it. No. There's hope because Christ rose from the dead, and we need to bring that hope to others. See, what happens is when we put our faith and trust in Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we are placed into the body of Christ, and we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. We go from being enemies, orphans, apart from God, to becoming family with God. And what we get to do when we get to spread that hope, when we get to share that hope, we are giving people a glimpse into the kingdom that will come, into the peace that comes, because when we put Christ first and we live for him, we have peace, we have forgiveness. We get a glimpse into what his kingdom will be one day. And we as people, as Christians, need to recognize our hope, we need to get excited about our hope, and we need to share our hope. Because it's worth sharing. And we need to live in that hope, and we need to share that hope with our neighbors, with our friends. The casket is empty. The grave has been opened, and Jesus walked out of it. Are we celebrating that day today? Are we celebrating that in our lives by living out the hope that we have and sharing that hope? We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we get to experience a glimpse of the kingdom that is to come, but will come. Why? Because Jesus said he's coming back. So every Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection, and it's remembering his death, his burial, his resurrection, but also remembering what? He's coming back again. We have hope. We can bank on it. God, thank you for the hope that we have in Christ, that it's not about us, what we bring to the table, but it's about what you have done in our place. You have forgiven us. You have brought us into your family. You have made us sons and daughters, and you've given us hope. God, help us to live out that hope everywhere. Amen.